Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
I was wrong. The mayor is not going to learn how to spell Eagles by the time of Super Bowl Sunday. Okay, don't worry. She's not going to jinx us. Also incapable of spelling the word Eagles, so don't worry about it. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Yes, I'm wearing my green today. We're all fired up, and we'll talk about the refs and how they are all under the influence of Taylor Swift. And also, amazingly enough, and this is just, I mean, I'm telling you right now, I'm personally very, very excited about the fact that we're going to be the center of attention again. And yes, right after we won the game last night, already people were stabbing and shooting into the night sky. So, I mean, you know, even when we win the NFC Championship, there's still Philadelphia crime stories just going right alongside with it. But hey, at least we're not talking about Taylor Swift. Because imagine Kansas City today, they're just getting bombarded with it, man. They got bombarded with it. So, and I, for one, don't want to see her. My son doesn't want to see her. Patrick even made it very clear to me last night. He said, Dad, this is going to be a rough game to watch. I agree for that reason. How many times are you going to pan to Taylor Swift? Well, let's face it. That's why the Chiefs were destined to win that game. But I'll get back to that. It's a big show. We got a lot of news. There's breaking news today. The CIA confirming that, in fact, COVID did not come from, and I am shocked how wrong I was on this, it did not come from a bat burger with a side of penguin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. I know. Turns out COVID-19 came from a lab in Wuhan, China. I am as surprised as you are. I was wrong. Got this wrong from day one. All the way back in March 20, I said somebody didn't cook their bat burger medium well. And boom, worldwide global pandemic. But turns out it did come from the lab. And so there's that. Also, the media is desperately trying to say that Trump's deportations are cruel and inhumane, even though the people getting deported are criminals. And I got to tell you, I mean, major props to the president of Colombia for standing his ground for like all of 42 minutes after Trump threatened him with tariffs and threatened to basically shut off the country to the world. And like 42 minutes, the guy stood up to the United States of America. It was remarkable. Even Colombian comedians are making jokes about their own country now after that brave stance by their president. 42 minutes. Remarkable. And, of course, it being a big week for confirmations, RFK Jr. is going to be on Capitol Hill this week. Tulsi Gabbard on Capitol Hill this week. I'm told that RFK Jr.'s got the votes. Tulsi, a little bit of a rocky road. On Friday, took the day off, and thanks to Opelka for jumping in. I was just resting to try to beat this staph infection. I can report good news. I think I've turned the corner on this thing. Today is the best I've felt in a month. I'm telling you, I feel great. I feel like myself again. And even though I have another surgery to go, I feel like we're almost out of the woods here on this. We're getting close. We're getting really close. We're almost the other side of this, which is great news. So thank you for all your nice thoughts and your well wishes. But this weekend, I actually said I'm just going to do nothing but rest. I did get a haircut, though, on Friday. But other than that, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I did nothing but just elevate my foot and just binge watched and, of course, watched the Eagles game yesterday and then watched the refs give the game to the Chiefs and did that. But it was great. And so I'm feeling good. I'm feeling happy. And this is going to be a big week. But on Friday, of course, Pete Hegseth was confirmed as defense secretary, which is good. Late night vote. And, of course, the people that voted against him, like I told you, one of those people being Mitch McConnell. Now, I don't know if Tulsi's going to get in. Maybe J.D. Vance will have to break the tie again. I don't know. And I also know a lot of people were disappointed with John Fetterman for not voting for Pete Hegseth. But look, Fetterman isn't going to vote with break the Democrats unless he absolutely has to. This is political survival. He doesn't want to be a Republican. He doesn't. And no one should get their hopes up that John Fetterman is going to switch parties. He's not. Let me just tell you, he's never going to become a Republican. Never, ever, ever, never. He's a fake Eagles fan now. He posted a picture last night on social media of him wearing an Eagles hat saying he was always a fan. Of course, he's a huge Steelers fan, but he's never going to be a Republican. So just get that out of your head. He might go along with the Republicans, and he's certainly, like he told The View today, he certainly thinks Trump is delivering. I mean, think about this, right? Donald Trump, his week will probably go down as one of the most consequential, if not the most consequential, first weeks in presidential history. Can you remember a week that was that consequential? And by the way, does anyone even remember Joe Biden? I mean, we've forgotten Joe Biden so quickly, we're going to be accused of being Joe Biden. We've all forgotten about the guy already. It's amazing. He's just like he's gone, like he never existed. Trump has just come in just a thunder force. Just absolutely just going in there and bulldozing everything like he said he would. This week will be no different. Same thing. Today he's going to sign executive orders on the military. He's going to ban transgender military members, which is good. He's going to reinstate all the troops who were relieved of their duty, a.k.a. fired, for not taking an experimental vaccine. And he's going to reinstate them with back pay. Good. Excellent. And Pete Hegseth has already come out as defense secretary and said, look, we don't want war, but hey, if you're going to mess with us, we'll be ready. So everything's looking good. And these ICE deportation raids, coupled with the fact that the IRS is now retreating. Yes, that's right. The IRS is in a frenzy. They don't know what to do. Remember that Inspector General's report came out at the end of last year? Right at the end. And it said that the IRS, like something 70%, overwhelming majority of their audits were going after people making far less than $400,000 a year. Again, another lie of the Biden administration when they added 80,000 new IRS agents, whatever the number was. And they said, oh, no, they're just going to go after the billionaire tax cheats. And I told you that was not true. They were going to go after the middle class. They're going after people who work for a living in this gig economy, as it's known. Everybody from babysitters to people that sell stuff on Etsy or sell stuff on Amazon, you make $600, prime target for the IRS. Well, of course, I was correct in my analysis on that. And yeah, the IRS has been going after those people. So Trump was even joking about it. Hey, maybe we send the IRS agents to the border. I love that idea. I really do. It's a great idea. It's a fantastic idea. Now, look, I give Sherelle Parker, the mayor of Philadelphia, a hard time because she can't spell Eagles. And I put out a tweet last night that she's vowing now She will learn how to spell Eagles by the time of Super Bowl Sunday. And I got blasted. We don't want her to change, okay? Because it's clearly good luck. It's okay. I don't think she's going to. I have yet to hear her come out and really say what she's going to do regarding Philadelphia's sanctuary city status. Which is smart, because nobody wants illegal immigrants here. There's a great clip I'm going to play you later in the show today. I was watching the show, what is it, America's Newsroom, I think it's called, with Dana Perino and Bill Hemmer. I think that's the name of the show. Yeah, that's the name of the show. I was on it last week. I'm sorry, I forgot for a moment. Anyway, I don't know if I mentioned that or not, but I was on it. And there are clips of that on Instagram, Zioli Show, if you want to see it. So anyway, they had this woman who's a councilwoman from Chicago on, and she's going on about how happy she is that all these criminals are getting deported. She's like, we don't want these people here. She's a black woman, too. I know. It's crazy, right? So, of course, ABC News is going to find white liberals to break down in tears over this Trump administration deporting of criminals, rapists and gang members and everybody else. But reality is everybody's very, very happy about what's happening because we're getting rid of the bad guys like Trende Alagua, whatever the heck the name is. They're getting deported. And the president has made it very clear to these countries, you will take them back. OK, like, don't mess with us. He posted a pic on his Instagram page last night where he's dressed up like a gangsta. And it says FAFO, F-A-F-O, which is blank around and find out. That's as Trump as you get, right? FAFO, blank around and find out. So, yeah, 1,000-plus arrests after ICE raids across the United States. And look, they're starting with the criminals. Tom Homan came out on TV over the weekend and said, if you're in this country illegally, you've broken the law. I mean, you have. It's illegal to come into this country illegally. So you should be on notice and you should probably self-deport. But the reality is that as the administration proceeds with this deportation of very bad guys and gals, don't want to forget them, in places like hopefully Philadelphia, you're going to see people are going to be as relieved as that councilwoman is in Chicago. And speaking of Philadelphia, and credit to Johnny Cook. So our buddy Johnny Cook, he monitors NPR, and nobody else does. I mean, literally, he's their only listener. He even sent me a story today about how NPR is beyond parodies. They have a story on how Trump killing the windmills is going to be somehow bad for animals or something. Like, they're deli slicers in the sky. I've said that for years. They are deli slicers in the sky. They make cold cuts out of these friggin' birds. And of course, you know, they're killing the whales and dolphins, but dead whales don't vote and dead dolphins don't vote, but dead Democrats vote. And that's why the Democrats don't care. But Trump cares, and he killed these things. And so what happens? Well, NPR is out with a story today saying how somehow wildlife actually benefits from these things. They're just freaking, literally, the bird go dead. But I'll get to that. Johnny sent a story that confirms our suspicions that, yes, Philadelphia's district attorney Larry Krasner is trying to go after the people who were pardoned by President Donald Trump for their activities on January the 6th, 2021. Activities that did not occur in the city of Philadelphia, the county of Philadelphia, or anywhere in the state of Pennsylvania. Somehow, though, Larry Krasner believes he has jurisdiction in this matter, even though nothing happened in the city of Philadelphia where he's a district attorney. So, yeah, that's what he said. He said on NPR, and we have the audio and I'll play it for you. He said, we are going to go after, we're looking, we're figuring out how we can do this. Now, that's funny to me because a pardon from the president of the United States, whether you agree with it or not, it's kind of it. I mean, Biden pardoned people. I don't agree with his pardons on, but it's kind of a done deal. For them, a state or a city where the crime never even took place in, for that district attorney to come out and go after those people, even though the crime never happened here, because last time I checked, Philadelphia has not been the capital of the United States of America since like long time ago, very long time ago. I mean, I'm no historian, but it was like 1950 or something like that. So there's no way Larry Krasner still has jurisdiction here. It doesn't last forever. When Philadelphia eventually, when D.C. eventually became the capital in like, I don't know, 1972, whatever it was. Like, if you are a prosecutor in Philadelphia henceforth, you don't get district attorney privileges just because Philly was once the capital up until like 5 years ago, whatever it was. No, that's not how this works. But I guess Krasner in his mind thinks that, I guess, I don't know. Or he's just so hell-bent on not prosecuting criminals in his actual city of Philadelphia. I mean, there's plenty of them to go around. We had more criminals last night after we won the freaking NFC Championship. Literally people firing guns in the air. Had a guy stabbed. It's Philadelphia. What do you expect? My favorite, of course, was the guy who was turned a shopping cart into a smoking wagon. That was pretty impressive. And then he brought it on a receptor train later on that night. But Krasner has more than his fair share of criminals if he wants to go after him. Here's a little secret between you and me, and don't let this get out. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to go after the criminals. Now, my bet is, even though Sherelle Parker can't spell, I think she's probably a savvier politician than people realize. And she's made it very clear she stands with law enforcement. So my bet is the mayor of Philadelphia is going to be pretty quiet on this whole ICE thing. And if she's asked anything, she's going to say, let's get rid of criminals. Krasner, though, I expect at any moment is going to try to pull a stunt like you're seeing play out in Illinois, where the state attorney general comes out and says, oh, well, listen, we're going to be monitoring this and we may just try to block this. How are you going to block this exactly? How does the state block the feds from enforcing federal law? Explain that one to me. Because I can't figure that out, especially when it comes to immigration, when the Supreme Court already ruled and Democrats cheered on the fact that the feds have the authority when it comes to immigration law. When they decided that case in Arizona, all the people on the left were like, woohoo, yay, we, the federal government, get to decide. Now the states don't like what the feds are doing, so they're turning around and going, oh, hell no, we get to decide immigration law around here. Can't have it both ways, kids. Comes back to bite you. So we'll see how that plays out as well. And I think that, I don't know, I mean, I think ultimately everybody deep down inside is very happy to see criminals and gang members, drug dealers, rapists, people that go after children, sex traffickers, deported. I'm not basing that on any anecdotal evidence. I just think people don't want those kind of people around. Again, maybe I'm way off on this. I mean, I don't know. Maybe for your Super Bowl party, a big game party. Can't say, you got to be careful when you say Super Bowl in context of something like a product. So you got to be careful about that. The NFL sues everybody. They sue everybody. But you got to say a big game. Like if I was doing a live read for something like Chips or something, I'd say for your big game party. But in the context of news, I can say Super Bowl. So for your Super Bowl party, I don't know. Like maybe you'd want Trende Aragua at your party. Be like, hey, look, got a bunch of criminals here, gang members. I even have some sex traffickers in the next room. But they brought guacamole, homemade guacamole, which is no easy feat. Actually, my wife makes it all the time. It's pretty easy to do. It's basically just avocado and lime, and it's actually pretty simple. But nevertheless, I don't know, maybe Trende Aragua makes something better, like pigs in a blanket. My friend Debbie Troy makes the best I've ever had. She's a genius at it. But they'd be like, hey, listen, we got these Venezuelan gang members in the next room. They make a hell of a pigs in the blanket. You know what I mean? It's like smuggling the hot dogs like they smuggle in people. Like, what? No, I don't want them here at your Super Bowl party. I think we're going to leave. I think it's the same in people's neighborhoods. I really do. Like, I think it's the same. Like, the philosophy should be that if you wouldn't invite them to your Super Bowl party or your big game party, whatever I have to say, people don't want them in your neighborhood either. It's like not that complicated. So people are happy this is happening. The only people who aren't are people that never have to deal with people like this. Like the very same people that would not be invited to your Super Bowl party and you'd never be invited to theirs. I'm talking about the likes of Martha Raddatz and whatever her name is on Margaret Brennan. They would never have illegal gang members at their Super Bowl party. And you wouldn't be invited there either, by the way. They're the only ones who care that all these people are getting deported, that all these criminals have to leave America, go back to Colombia or Venezuela or wherever and whence they came. They're the only people that care. People that actually live in places where these criminals commit, what's the word for it, crimes. They're cheering this on. They love this. They want more of this. And they love the fact that Trump is already delivering on this promise. Because crime played a huge factor in this election. Everywhere. Crime played a huge factor in this election. It's why I did so well with Black and Latino voters in places like Philadelphia, for example. Because so many of them said enough is enough. Now, that doesn't mean that Republicans are going to win the city of Philadelphia anytime soon. It doesn't mean they're going to elect a common sense pro-police district attorney anytime soon. But it does show you there's enough of them cheering on Trump's moves that it makes a difference, made a difference in the state of Pennsylvania, made a difference in the outcome in the must-win state of Pennsylvania without question. It all adds up, kids. All those numbers add up. I mean, I'm no math guy, but you decrease Democrat turnout by 20% in the city. You raise Republican turnout. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm talking about. And the other point of this, too, is that the very same people on corporate TV who are trying to pretend like this is Trump grabbing school children and abuelas and teachers in the middle of teaching. And they have no proof of this whatsoever. But what ICE is doing, which is really smart, is they're taking people like Dr. Phil along for ride-alongs. Yeah. And they're taking Fox News with them, too. And they're showing people. Hey, look, we're arresting gang members. Look, we're getting bad guys off the streets. We're not grabbing school kids. We're not grabbing teachers out of the classroom. We are getting bad people out of the school, though, which is what every parent would want. We are getting criminals off the streets and sending them out of the United States of America. See, Margaret Brennan and Martha Raddatz and the others and George Stephanopoulos, whoever else, they're not going on ICE ride-alongs. Tom Holman's a smart guy, though. He gets it. He's very good on television, and he gets the message, and he knows damn well that the power of showing this to people, and yeah, people are turning around and cheering this on. Absolutely they are. Who wouldn't? Again, use it as your standard as you plan your big game celebration on February 9th. As you all have to deal with the refs cheating. Oh, my God. It was so blatant yesterday, wasn't it? Would you want to invite any of these people who've been deported to your Super Bowl party? If not, then shut up already. Very simple question. Very simple. Almost as simple as spelling the word Eagles. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Big show for you today. We're just getting warmed up. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, Speaker Mike Johnson is taking questions ahead of the big Republican gathering at Doral in Miami, where the Republicans are doing their agenda retreat. So I think we could just jump in here and take a little bit of a listen to what the priorities are going to be.
The Biden administration and Mayorkas opened the border wide and subjected the American people to all of these terrible it's a humanitarian catastrophe and a violent problem, a violent crisis for the American people, and it must be addressed. And so President Trump will, you've seen, he will have a heavy hand, and we will support him on that regardless of who stands up against it.
Mr. Speaker,
yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, we spent a busy week as a team with President Trump. We've seen him fire some inspectors general today, and also he's made comments and an executive order about FEMA, saying that perhaps it shouldn't even exist. Can you comment on the idea that states should do more, and do you think FEMA should exist? And the inspectors general, is that a legal action, or is it a good one?
So I have some expertise with FEMA. I'm from Louisiana. We're a disaster-prone state, as is Florida, and we have a lot of experience with that. In my experience, it is very often the case that local workers, people that who are, you know, working through FEMA, do a pretty good job, but often it's the leadership at the top that can affect the outcome of how a disaster is handled. There's been a lot of frustration, of course, over the last 4 years with how FEMA has been handled, and I think the president is right to assess that. I think we are entering a new era of government, and that is When the president says he wants to make the government more efficient and effective, and we say we want to limit the size and scope of government, it means that everything is on the table for reevaluation. This is a new moment for us to reevaluate everything that the federal government does. And FEMA is in the crosshairs, pardon the expression, because they're the microscope, because these disasters are front and center for the country to review. And so I think that the task force that the president set up by the executive order is an appropriate step. I think that it's probably long overdue. It'll be a 6-month, 180-day evaluation with some very smart people in the room that have a lot of expertise and experience in dealing with FEMA. And I very much look forward to the outcome.
We'll jump out of this. We'll monitor it for you in case anything consequential really comes out of it. The meeting is going to take place. Look, obviously, this is a question of priorities here and what they want to do. And Trump's calling the shots, though, at this moment. I'm more worried about the Senate and the confirmation hearings that are taking place than anything else. But welcome back. Glad you're here. Thanks for your nice comments about my haircut. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. And yes, I do follow the YouTube chat. And yes, people can join in. We are chatting away on YouTube as we speak. But I have a ton of audio for you that I want to get to. New audio coming out every moment. But I just thought this was really, really telling. All right. So when you think about everything that happened with the lab leak, and I was joking earlier when I said that I always thought it was an undercooked bat burger with a side of penguin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. March of 2020, I was out there saying, listen, this thing came from a lab. All right. This thing came from a lab. I agreed with what Senator Tom Cotton was saying in January when he said this is a bioweapon. And of course, at the time, we were all labeled conspiracy theorists and we were told we were quacks. And this would be the beginning. The only good part that came out of this, honestly, the only good part about that came out of this was that this would be the beginning of the end of labeling people conspiracy theorists and getting away with it because they were all in on it. I mean, the corporate media did their thing. You remember calling it the debunked lab leak theory, debunked bunkum, as Joy Reid said. Every single corporate media mouthpiece went on there and parroted that this thing came from a bat burger. They even had the guy who was the ambassador from China to the United States on with Margaret Brennan on CBS News very early on in the pandemic saying it was racist to say that it came from a lab. This is what I've never understood about this. It's racist to say that it might have left a laboratory, but not racist to say that the eating habits of the people of Wuhan are so freaking disgusting that they could cause a global pandemic. Like, think about that. If you had a scale of racism, which one would you think weighs heavily, more heavily? I mean, like, if it's me, it's racist to say scientists let a virus out of the lab, but not racist to say that I eat like freaking bat heads. And not Ozzy Osbourne cool way, but like in a like feeding my family way, because I'm that disgusting as a person, because my culture is that disgusting. Like, that's not racist, but it's racist to say that maybe some scientists accidentally, wink, wink, let it leak out of a lab. I've never understood that to this day, honestly. I mean, just as an Italian speaking. If the virus had come out of, Palermo, and they were like, well, you know, the Palermo, they're freaking filthy. Down to those southern Italians, man, they're freaking filthy, never wash their hands. The people in northern Italy who look down on them, they're right. Those people are filthy pigs. Like, that's not racist. But if you said an escape from the Palermo laboratory of infectious disease, now that's really racist to the people of Palermo, Italy. I mean, like, stop it. But anyway, here's what the CIA, former CIA director, John Brett, not that. Let me go to the new CIA director, John Ratcliffe, over the weekend, who came out and said that, yes, the CIA has now changed their wording to say that they do believe it came from a lab. CIA director John Ratcliffe, cut number 10, Kirk.
Part of what we have to do is we have to restore Americans' trust in our own institutions, like the intelligence community and law enforcement, and that includes the CIA. And, you know, one of the things the president stressed, you know, the purpose of the CIA is to protect Americans, to keep us safe from foreign threats and foreign adversaries. But we also need to be truthful with Americans. And he has stressed to me and others that, you know, these aren't mutually exclusive missions. We can do both. And so in the case of the CIA, which is the best foreign intelligence service in the world, after 5 years to not have a public assessment, to be honest with the American people about where the likely source of a pandemic that killed millions around the world, including a million Americans, and really impacted all 345 million Americans in some way. People lost jobs, they lost houses, they lost their health, they lost their businesses, all of that. And so I had the opportunity on my first day to make public an assessment that actually took place in the Biden administration. So it can't be accused of being political. And it does assess, the CIA has assessed, that the most likely cause of this pandemic that has wrought so much devastation around the world was because of a lab-related incident in Wuhan. And so we'll continue to investigate that moving forward. But I think it was important for the American people to see an institution like the CIA get off the sidelines and be truthful about what our intelligence shows, at the same time of protecting us from adversaries like China if they caused or contributed to this.
Now we got to figure out the role our own government played in this. Because remember, I've always talked to you about the unholy triad, the government, corporate media, and big tech. And they were all in on protecting China from the truth about COVID-19, the lab leak. They were all in on it. The CIA was in on it, too. Remember, in 2019, the Secretary of Energy at the time, Secretary Briette, made an assessment of what was happening over in China regarding this biolab and these infectious diseases. The Department of Energy was on this back in 2019. 2020, everybody went into overdrive to try to cover for China. Trump said in April of 2024, when he was asked by Fox News about this, he said he said he believes it came from a lab. And he said, well, I can't tell you why, but I've seen evidence of that to that effect. It's why I've come to that conclusion. I want to know, and I hope Radcliffe will fulfill this, what role did the Central Intelligence Agency play in this cover-up to protect China, and why? I think we know the why here. The why is because it leads directly back to Anthony Fauci, all the other minions in the scientific industrial complex in America who were told were infallible angels who were here to protect us with the science. And they all paid for this freaking thing and created this Frankenstein monster. And I believe that that's why. And also because the CIA was looking to protect. I hope they figured that part of it out. Whatever that role of the Central Intelligence Agency was in covering up the truth, in trying to push this narrative that it came from the wet market, I hope Radcliffe figures it out. And hopefully we'll hold people accountable on this. But the fact that already Trump's been president, a week. So 1 week today. And they've already said this came from a lab is good. It's very good. We're not futzing around with this anymore. Now we got to get the evidence to prove it, and the evidence and the role of those in our government and what they played in terms of trying to suppress the truth about this. I would like to see that. But I mentioned to you that Trump made a joke about the IRS. Joke? Not a joke. You decide what he's going to do with IRS agents after it came out by another inspector general's report that, yeah, the IRS is targeting people that make less than $400,000 a year. No surprise, no shock there. Cut number four.
Trump has new ideas. Watch this.
On day one, I immediately halted the hiring of any new IRS agents. You know, we tried to hire 88,000 new workers to go after you, and we're in the process of developing a plan to either terminate all of them or maybe we'll move them to the border. I think we're going to move them to the border. Well, they're allowed to carry guns. You know, they're so strong on guns, but these people are allowed to carry guns, so we'll probably move them to the border.
Yeah, listen, I mean, good. The IRS is on the run and ICE is on the move. That's Trump's America. I like that. I really do. I think it's great. I think it's really important. I don't want the IRS busting the chops of the American people any more than you do. Nobody wants that. And so Trump turns around and he says to Colombia, all right, listen, we're sending you these people back. And the Colombian president makes this brave stance for 40 minutes. And he's like, no, we're not taking your people. Trump's like, OK, we're going to tariff the F out of you. We're not going to let any Colombian people come to this country without going through extreme vetting. We're going to make life a living hell. How do people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez respond? Well, predictably, they turn around and they respond by saying President Trump is going to make the American people pay more for coffee. Well, the brave stance of the Colombian president lasted 40 minutes and they completely turned around. And it was just a complete 180 in a matter of I mean, it all took place in that span of time. See, and yes, Kirk, put the picture up on the screen, if you would, of what Trump posted last night. FAFO. F around and find out. Colombia F'd around. They found out. That's what I'm talking about. All right. And now the president of Colombia is the laughingstock of everybody. He's got his own comedians making fun of him. There's people who crossed out the word Colombia and put Trump's little B on it instead in marker. I mean, if you're going to make a bold stand against the United States of America, not even making an hour, you're going to get mocked. You're going to get laughed at. I'm just saying. You're going to get laughed. People are going to make fun of you. Dave Chappelle is even out there mocking Panama about the fact that what's Panama going to do if we want the Panama Canal back? They don't even have a military. Like, what are they going to do? So if you take this brave stand, like Brazil's doing now, and Trump turns around and says, all right, listen, if you're not going to take your people back, they're your citizens. They're in our country illegally. If you're not going to take them back, then we're going to make things very expensive for your country. And it's going to hurt your economy. There's nothing you can do about it. Militarily, it's not like we have to worry about you invading us. It's not like we have to worry about Brazil attacking us, Colombia attacking us. So, I mean, you're talking about playing chicken. Play chicken. If that's what this is about, it's about saying whose blank is bigger. You know what I mean? Whose military is bigger? What did you think I meant? Come on. Trump's going to win that war every time. He's going to win that game. It's a mental game every time. This is Pedro Jokes on TikTok. Even Colombian comedians are making jokes about President Trump. I mean, now President Trump crushed him. 25.
You saw this that happened today when my president was like, we're not taking back any planes with deportees. And Trump was like, we're going to slap you with 25% taxes tomorrow on everything you sent to. And then Colombian president was like, I would like to rethink my decision. I would like to send a plane myself. My personal presidential plane is gonna go pick him up wearing a red hat because I make America great again. Please, Mr. Trump, do not do this to me.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's funny because it's true, because that's how bad the president of Colombia looked with his brave stance of standing up to Trump for all 42 minutes. So you see, the tariff thing, like I've told you, is a great way to play mental judo with these countries, because they don't have another way to hurt the United States of America, but we can certainly hurt them. And Trump knows that. I don't want to pay more for coffee than you do. And I don't think Trump wants us to pay any more for coffee than any of us do. But if necessary, if these countries are not going to cooperate, well, then we are going to put them, we're going to put sanctions on them. They're going to cripple their economy and make it very, very expensive for them to do business. And it's not going to work out for them. And you saw that play out there. But how many other presidents would have had the cojones to do that? So, right? I mean, most of them would have been like, oh, you're not going to take your people back? All right, well, yeah, it's your national sovereignty, and we don't want to mess with that, and we'll respect your borders. We just wish you'd respect ours, but if you're not going to respect ours, there's nothing we can do about it. And right, total capitulation. Not Trump. No, not Trump at all. No. Trump turns around and he says, I'm sorry, what? You're not taking your people back? Oh, okay. All right. Well, watch this. Watch what happens now. And then they crumble immediately. And that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, Vanaria Dental, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Make Dr. Mike your choice for a great smile, VeneriaDental.com. And that's a big part of the presidency, is the bully pulpit. The power of the bully pulpit, and to be able to use it, wield it effectively. And to be able to let these countries know you're not messing around. You're not messing around here. Because honestly, what do we have to worry about? Nothing. And if we're going to send people back to the countries that they belong, those countries should cooperate with us. That's how it should work. I mean, look at it this way. If I was picked up on a crime in Italy, not that I would commit a crime overseas, but I could get Italian citizenship, so because my grandpa was born there. So bad example. Let's say I was in Mexico. I committed a crime, and they wanted to deport me back to America. First of all, I'd want to go. That's the difference. I'd want to go back. These people don't want to go back to these other countries. Sorry, but the other countries don't want them back because they're what? They're criminals, which is why they're getting deported from the United States of America in the first place. So the Colombian president doesn't want them back. The Venezuelan president, they didn't want these people back. Again, it's very simple. Would you invite these people to your Super Bowl party? If the answer is no, then you don't want them in your neighborhood. You don't want them hanging out. You don't want them in your country. Of course, these presidents are going to say no. Of course, they're going to try to play tough guy and say you can't land your plane here. What are they going to do? Shoot it out of the sky? Of course not. So Trump turns around, he plays mental head games with them and says, all right, you're going to pay. And their brave stance collapses in a matter of moments. All right, quick break. We're coming right back. Got tons of great audio for you. It's going to be a big week in Washington with confirmation hearings. And what the big question, of course, is going to be is what did Fetterman, Senator John Fetterman, say that Trump has done already that he promised he would do? Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right. Justin called it, by the way. We got the Justin cam on. He said the Eagles were going to win yesterday. Good prediction skills from you, Justin. Well done.
I am just magic with my prediction abilities.
Did you predict the way the referees would cheat and help the Kansas City Chiefs in such a manner?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's not even a hard prediction to make. That's just a given.
That's an easy one, right?
Yeah. Given out Patrick Mahomes is their golden child.
And Tay-Tay. Don't forget Tay-Tay in the stands.
How could I forget the every 25 seconds a cut to Taylor Swift? How could I forget?
Literally. And there was no way the Bills could win that game. I liked it. Dave Portnoy last night went on a tirade about how all the referees should be in prison for that game.
I don't blame him.
Even my 10-year-old son said the refs were cheating.
I mean, he gets the softest calls. You breathe in his general direction, and you get a 15-yard roughing the passer call. It just infuriates. It's a disgrace to the game of football, and I am praying every single second of every day for the next 2 weeks that we destroy Kansas City and New Orleans.
Wait, Portnoy had $1 million on the Bills, DeSantis?
Yeah, well, not on that game specifically, but he used the money he earned investing in that Trump meme coin to make another investment in the Bills being Super Bowl champion. So they had to technically beat the Chiefs last night, and then they would have to win the Super Bowl. But yeah, he had $1 million on the Bills winning the whole thing.
First of all, there's no way the Bills would beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Not watching that game last night, no friggin' way. No way. The Chiefs can only win if there's cheating, which is going to be cheating by the referees. So what? I think Vegas gives the Chiefs, what, a one-point advantage over us going into that game? Is that right?
When I looked last night, right after the Bills-Chiefs game ended, it was 1.5. Yeah. Chiefs were 1.5-point favorites.
I admit, just told me the latest odds are 1.5.
Be 1.5 because of the refs.
Yeah.
If you had unbiased refs and Taylor Swift was not part of this, it would be Eagles plus... A lot more.
7.5, easy.
I'd even take that bet. So, Justin, what's your prediction then? Can we overcome the cheating, the Tay-Tay factor, the fact that the NFL wants her to... I mean, clearly, they're all in this together, this giant freaking cabal here. Can we overcome it?
The way I see it is this is like a mirror match of how we beat the Patriots in 2018. You know, we lost Super Bowl 39, I want to say, in 04 to the Patriots. We come back in 2018, Super Bowl 52, and we win. So we lose Super Bowl 56 in 2022. We come back in Super Bowl 59, and we win. So I do think, once again, there will be chaos on the streets of Philadelphia in 13 days' time.
All right, so you're saying grease the poles.
Extra grease.
Matt DeSantis, do you believe that Mayor Parker will be able to spell Eagles by the time of the Super Bowl?
I don't want her to spell it properly. Maybe we got luck out of that misspelling. She's got to just keep putting the L second in the letter lineup. Otherwise, you know, if we lose, she's going to be blamed. I don't think she wants to change anything.
She should actually own this at this point. This would be good PR for her. She should come out and own this and stand on the steps of City Hall and just repeat the same chant that she gave when she spelled it wrong in the first place.
I agree. It might be good luck. Who knows?
Yeah.
Don't change anything, though.
No, and that's what she should double down on it and be like, I'm going to come out here again. E-L-G-L-E-S. That spells Eagles. M-O-O-N. And I'm not changing it now because it'd be superstitious. So, you know, make a joke out of it.
There's merch with the misspelling now, too.
I know.
I was in Vegas over the weekend, and I saw somebody wearing an Eagles shirt with the misspelling. So it's everywhere.
Cupcakes. People were posting pictures to my social media last night of the misspelling of the Eagles on cupcakes, which is, you know, you just got to kind of move a couple around and I guess add an extra L. But, I mean, it's great. It's everywhere. People were making signs. My friend's dad had a sign, a homemade sign made up. It was fantastic. And of course, when I posted that last night, everybody was coming at me saying, you don't want to change anything now because you'll jinx it. But she spelled it right today. Oh, then we're effed. Now we're effed. Oh, come on, Mayor Parker. Why would you do that? Why would you do that today? Yeah, she spelled it right today, gave a cheer at City Hall too late. All right, that's it. We're done. We're going to lose. That's it. She screwed. You just did worse for us than the freaking refs are going to do on Super Bowl Sunday, all right? We need to lead a campaign to impeach and remove the mayor before the Super Bowl. This injustice cannot stand. I'm a superstitious man. This is not good. If we lose this game, I'm not saying we're going to lose. I don't know enough about sports to say that. All I know is this. If we do lose, I'm blaming one person, Mayor Parker. That's it. I don't care what happens. It doesn't matter what happens. Jalen Hurts could have like 15 interceptions. The refs could completely blow every call. I don't care. I'm still blaming the mayor for spelling the freaking name of the team right today. It's on you. That's it. And if we win, it's nothing to do with her, by the way. Nothing. It's all those other recent players. It's that the refs didn't cheat that bad or we were able to overcome the cheating. But, in fact, I hate them. I still hate Taylor Swift more. I was going to say, I still do. Wait, why do you say the refs kind of cost them the last Super Bowl, too? What happened there?
Well, that one ended on a controversial penalty. James Bradbury, according to the refs, grabbed Juju Smith-Schuster, I believe.
Yes, that's right. I forgot I meant to say
that.
It was
a big third down penalty,
penalty. By the way, how about that second down last night during the game where that dude just kept jumping over the both lines?
It's awesome.
He
did
it like five times. It was amazing.
Yeah, they almost just flat out gave up on the play and awarded the Eagles the touchdown, which I didn't even know was a thing that the refs could do. I didn't know they could just appoint a touchdown to the Eagles.
I love that. I love the ref come out. He's like, listen, Washington, you freaking thugs do this one more time. I'm just giving them the touchdown, all right? Like, cut the crap already. That was my favorite moment of the game by far.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was great. He's like, seriously? But the guy did it the third time. We're like, wait, are you freaking kidding me now? Is this a joke? All right, we got a lot to get to. Robert Bork Jr. is going to join us about how the FTC still with President Trump going after antitrust nonsense. Can we reform this? We have to reform this. Absolutely. We're going to talk about that. China's AI model, which is concerning to a lot of people, and how it's affecting the market. We'll talk about that as well. Plus, where do things stand with Tulsi Gabbard, Bobby Kennedy? Big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.